This podcast is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Bobrow and is a production of VI Alliance.
Copyright 2020.
And this chart-busting hit, Alone Leave Me, courtesy of New Threads, is available everywhere. Hey, this is Julie and I am here with Susan. And so, a little bit of something bothering me.
Uh-oh.
And so I said, hey, let's do a podcast.
That's right.
Why not? So a few days ago, a video went viral on Twitter. And it surrounded James Corden in carpool karaoke. Yeah. And the video showed, and a spoiler alert here for carpool karaoke, but the video showed... And it was cool because the video was just like this kid and you see with the baseball hat and he turns around and he's like, oh, look, there's James Corden and Justin Bieber. And yet what everybody sees is the actual car up on a lift being towed by a truck. And so people were flabbergasted on Twitter. And, you know, somebody even, it was great to coin the word, they said instead of carpool karaoke, it's carpool karaoke. And so the reasoning of what's bothering me is, sure, I mean, okay, yeah, we all get that there's insurance considerations and, you know, we're breaking down, what is it, the third or fourth wall or whatever, you know, so we're seeing behind the scenes of what occurs. Yet a lot of people were devastated and they posted that, you know, wow, there goes my trust. And I have to say that one of the most enjoyable parts about, for me at least, the carpool karaoke, and I love James Corden going all the way back to when he was on Doctor Who. So I remember his character on there. And, you know, it's an interesting show and the concept is wonderful and what occurs, yet the illusion of it probably was more wonderful than just
that
the
aspect.
That
he was really out on the street.
That he's really out on the street in the car driving.
Like we do.
Right. Like we do.
Like we do.
And I mean, I've done this and way before this even came as a concept. I remember I did this with my friend Tracy going down to Cape Cod. We were screaming, singing a David Lee Roth song in the car when we were stuck in traffic. And someone actually came up and said, yeah, I like your singing. You know, and it was like, whoops, we didn't know anyone else was listening. And I think of that moment and how much fun it was. And so there was an aspect of, like, fun and not just that this is an advertisement for whoever is singing.
Or that it was, a promoted and staged.
Staged. Exactly, staged. And so the part that bothered me is that, I'm going to go right into it, that, you know, okay, great. So there's the ideology that this is all a simulation. And so with this being a simulation, staying aware and where your feelings are prodded at, and, you know, it's fun to see James Corden singing with Barbra Streisand and then thinking, ooh, Barbra Streisand's really even driving the car as they're singing? Wow, you know? And yet just that whole aspect of seeing the car, you know, being pulled and understanding that, you know, from a business standpoint and an actor standpoint and legalities, you know, of course they can't be doing this and they wouldn't be able to see with the cameras, but that's almost too much information because once that wall is broken and the illusion appears as what it is, I mean, you kind of go, And so the totality of the aspect that bothered me is that, you know, how much better could I, as well as all of us, you know, exist knowing that this is a simulation?
Well, it's what you said, you know, the thing that you said to me way back when is all is not what it seems.
Right.
I kind of took it and I kind of laughed. I thought it changes the aspect of what you're seeing and what you thought you saw. And then it makes me question a lot of things. I mean, we also talk about Trump and it's like, what do we really think we're seeing? And, you know, between hypnosis and power of persuasion, you know, if it's like going to a movie, you know, it's not real. And okay, maybe this documentary or they say, but you know, you go in and you like to be, you have your feelings you know, kind of jockeyed around and moved, and but you are a willing participant in that.
Well, it's entertainment.
But right, because you're a willing participant.
Right.
I think what happens is when you realize that those same feelings have been kind of jerked about and you thought something, you don't like it because now you realize, wait a second, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up.
Hi, this is Julie here with Susan. And I have to ask you, what's one of the favorite books that we've written together? Which one would you say?
My favorite would be Energetic Invocations because you tricked me into writing it. And it wrote itself, and I just was grateful to be a part of it. I like all the books we've written. We've had so much fun, but that's probably my favorite.
What about you? I agree with you. I love Energetic Invocations, and I love the invocations because they're really powerful, and I love the way it slides into the Endra book. So the Endra scripts is really fun as well. So I agree with you.
Yep. Awesome.
Hey, Susan, the secret's out.
Oh, no.
Well, they can't tell from my accent, but probably from yours. Yeah, we're from Boston. But the really funny thing is, our stuff is all over. We have 4 podcast shows. You can find them on Spotify, and you can find them everywhere you listen to podcasts. And we have lots of books and ebooks on Amazon, and that's worldwide. So do you feel adventuresome?
Sure.
And so what's interesting when you say it's a simulation, because I know simulation theory and people talk about that, but then it makes you look at everything. It makes you look at everything. I think we were having the conversation on the phone or whatever, and I remember as a kid, my brothers watched wrestling. Mm-hmm. I had 3 brothers. Mm-hmm. My 2 older brothers watched wrestling, and I would come down, little girl, watching these men, you know, breaking chairs over others' backs and throwing them. And I was like mortified. I was like, oh my, I can't believe they do it. And my brothers, and at some point, I don't know, because I wouldn't watch it. I'm like, I'm not watching this. And of course, they do an interview with someone, and it would be, you know, the whole, I'm going to get you. And my brothers would be killing themselves laughing. And it didn't make sense to me, but it was entertainment, that piece of it. Until I realized years later that, you know, wrestling's not real.
Right.
And it's not the, you know, the wrestling they do in school and or when they're doing basic wrestling is real. But this whole staged piece, unless you know it and you go in and you're like, that's, I think, what bothers you.
Well, that's a great, that's a beautiful analogy. And I'm glad you expressed wrestling because in actuality, then, it is fair to say that what occurred afterwards is it like went like wildfire when people knew that it wasn't real. I mean, it just, I think, and back in the day, my grandfather used to watch roller derby, which was like people, and that was, there was an active sense to, you know, you had to be able to skate, but a lot of that wasn't real either. I mean, who was fighting and pushing each other and rolling around the track. Right. And
although I never watched it.
And so that was right, really big, like in the 70s, I think, or something. And my grandmother and other people watched it too. And so when you're saying that about wrestling, it's fascinating to me because it really took off after that. And so, you know, because it was an illusion, it really took off. And I think from the standpoint of carpool karaoke, I mean, you kind of, sort of, I'm going to just go out and use the generic you want to believe that they're in a car, like you could be in a car singing with Stevie Wonder. And I know he couldn't drive, so that didn't make any sense. But you could be in a car. So when the illusion is kind of broken down, then it makes me ask, so do you want to wake up every morning and say, okay, I'm in an illusion?
Well, why can't you just enjoy it? I go back to the whole wrestling thing. I really wasn't interested in watching someone go out and flipping each other, but when they would do the whole, you know, get up and someone would walk in and they'd have the music playing and they'd walk in like they were, you know, this big grander, you know, Hulk Hogan, and he'd say his thing and whatever. I could watch that part and I would laugh. My brothers would be and I could laugh and I could enjoy it as knowing that it's, they're just playing a role. And so with carpool karaoke, it doesn't change the fact that he's having that conversation that he's having with them. He's, you know, they're listening to the music, sitting in a car, pretending that they're doing it. And And so if I embrace that, it doesn't mean now I'm getting caught up in the simulation. It means I can enjoy the part of it. I can enjoy the creative, expressive part.
Do you really believe that? Because
yeah,
the venue, the venue is the car. Okay, so when you're in your car and you think, oh, this is like carpool karaoke. Well, no, it isn't, because you're not being, you know, pulled down the road. You're driving in your car singing.
So we're going to find out Seinfeld's having coffee with comedians in cars. Are we going to find out that he's not really driving, too? Is that going to be the next thing?
I don't know. They show him driving the car, and they show little excerpts and stuff, and who knows? I get that part. You only see the parts that you see and, you know, go into the Matrix and go into whatever you want to go into. Yet, you know, it's not like we're in the shower singing, and this is occurring in the shower. And we know, it's like, well, wait a minute, we know there's cameras there. So we know all that part, but it's just, it fascinated me, that little piece about, you know, that someone even stated, you know, I can't trust anyone anymore type thing. And I know it was a joke.
The thing is,
you're really going to argue for this?
Yeah.
Then it's arguing to stay in the illusion of the simulation.
No. Where I'm going, see, I'm not putting the words in my mouth. What I'm arguing, is we need to, that is an expression of the grander scheme. We don't know anything that's going on with anything. And if you're going to step in, I mean, you know, so you see that about James Corden and karaoke carpool. Oh, wow. Geez, I thought that's that. Okay. You still can watch it. I mean, is people not going to watch it now? Because, you know, you could, it's just his different way of bringing somebody in and showing these stars in a different way.
So it didn't change anything for you?
No. What I'm saying is it reinforced the fact that that's one piece of everything. I don't know anything. We talk about Trump. We talk about the presidency. We talk about the media not being real. So nothing, unless you are in that space yourself, is real. We don't know what the truth of anything is. So we should be focusing on who we are in our space of reality, and everything else is just your word fodder.
So this is the sixth, to me, this is the sixth sense element. And that element is, and I actually never saw the full movie of The Sixth Sense. And that element is that people who went to see that movie from the start, and no one had said anything about it, were, and this is not, you know, any kind of teaser or spoiler,
oh,
or anything.
It's been out 100 years.
It's been out 100 years.
Yeah, you're not gonna.
But it's not, what are you getting upset about? At the end, you know what occurs at the end? And when the reveal at the end occurs, people I knew were flabbergasted that they went back to see the movie like 10 times to figure out where they missed it. Where they missed it. And there's something to that, because this you could call the sixth sense factor. Because there is an element of, okay, oh my God, that was an illusion. Where did I miss it? And there is something important to that, because every day we are tackled with illusions.
Everything is that way. That's what I'm saying. You say you're not upset about it. I'm not upset about it, because I saw Sixth Sense. I thought it was a great movie. I saw it once. At the end, it did catch me. I was like, oh my God. But then I could look back and realize that at every single point that I can remember, it was once again my brain filling in the other parts of, oh, he's talking to the guy. He must be talking to his wife, his, you know, what do you call it? It's the guy who played it, Bruce Willis. The person that played his wife in it is sitting there, and it looks like they're having dinner together. But it's off. And so my brain filled in the other piece to think that he lived and now he's helping this boy. And then it comes to the very end and you're like, exactly that. It's nothing more than a joke. Why do we laugh? Because you hear something, you expect it to finish a certain way, and a comedian throws something at, and it's funny. That's what they say, why we laugh, because we expect it to go a certain way and it's different, so we laugh. That's the timing of a joke.
So you do realize that you can never watch The Sixth Sense with that same naivety.
No, but we're not supposed to watch movies 100 times.
And when you, but that's hello. But you don't know how many times people have watched Lord of the Rings?
I don't. I'm a different person. I don't. I watch a movie once. It's not like I won't watch it. It's I watch it and I enjoy it or I don't. And sometimes if I'm called back because I was just telling you about another movie I want to watch again because I watched it with a different mindset. I'm a different person now. It was a movie that was out in, I want to say 1997. It's Contact and it's with Jodie Foster. I was in a different mindset. And when I saw it, I just went so far. I think. I want to see it because what am I going to get this time around? And I do know the ending, but there's something that I there's a missing piece. There's a unfinished business. With Sixth Sense, I'm not one of those people that goes back and watches a movie over and over. I know people do. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I take it and say, wow, that was really good. It's like, tell me a joke. I want to hear the joke and I laugh. You tell me a second time, you might catch me. And unless it's really over the top, I'll be like, I sit there and it's like, yeah, okay, it's give me something new. And so the only reason I say it is that I think it's a great wake-up call to a lot of people that everything we think we know, and we have our other podcast where we talk, you know, we're talking about Oprah and we're talking about Trump, more importantly Trump, that all is not what it seems. And I think that, even with the university scandal, with this whole thing that comes about with Weinstein, the thing that comes about with Epstein and everything else, all is not what it seems. People put out what they try to project is who they want you to think they are, or they want you to think the event was. I mean, we're always learning about history and what we think, you know. Now they're talking about Christopher Columbus. So he discovered America. Well, now we're finding out, were the Vikings here before? I just think it's actually a beautiful thing to, you know, wow. Every time we think we know something, there's so much more that we don't know. That to me is empowering. That's when I hear people have the doom and gloom and they say, oh, the world's coming to an end and everything is and you know what? We don't know everything. And you know, you get caught, and instead of getting upset, it's to me, I laugh. You think that's...
Well, you know...
You're appalled.
I'm not appalled. The gist of this podcast was to highlight the simulation, not that, hey, great, it's a simulation, and just, you know, grin and bear it and smile about it because all is not what it seems. And our tweet, you know, forwarding that viral video was, once again, all is not what it seems. And that's okay, and it's not okay.
It is. So you if you don't understand that people are not always coming full force to who they are, and the events that we read about, we see on TV, is not all what it seems.
But that isn't my point. My point of this is, and off this recording, you had a conversation with me before about how things should be intense and not so intense. And yet, so here's something where people really get enjoyment from. They really get enjoyment. And they were devastated by the fact that, you know, they were probably sitting in their car, you know. And you could take any movie, you could take anything and say, oh, is a superhero going to come? And it's illusion and whatever. But they were sitting in their car and there's something to that. There's something to that.
Well, I think
they're devastated. That they're sitting in their car and they're thinking however they're thinking about it. That's bothersome. That's bothersome. It's bothersome by, you know, things that are said, things that aren't said. And
well, I think
that to say that, hey, that's okay. That's what the world is built on. Sure, that's what the world is built on. But if you want to be aware 24/7, then that doesn't meet what you were just talking about before. About it's got to be a little bit laid back
about persuasion, hypnosis. All of that goes on consistently with marketing. You know, these huge companies that consistently throw their ads at you. You need this. You need that. And, you know, and we think like, oh, we really need it. No, you say they're telling me this because they're trying to sell it.
Any time of the year is a great time to have fun with trivia. Yet when it's the holiday season, get yourself some Christmas and holiday trivia. Go on over to Amazon and find ebook and books of 500 questions, Christmas and Holiday Trivia.
By Julie Benetti.
All you could wonder about the holiday season.
Hi, this is Susan, and I have to say that doing podcasting was something new to me. I do talk a lot, but when we first started off, Julie and I sat down and decided that we were going to put it in audio. When you listen to it, here's the little nugget that you have to find as I was eating potato chips. So listen for the squeaky chairs and potato chips. Then you'll know I was there.
So remember, it's not only wine and cheese that we have at these affairs, it's potato chips. Sponsors?
So what are we doing here, Susan?
Oh, we're doing commercials.
That's right, we're doing ads.
But what are we selling?
I don't know, what are we selling, Danny?
I don't know, what are you selling?
Everybody's selling something, aren't we selling something?
I don't know, my father used to ask me all the time, what the heck are you selling?
So, I can imagine why, but let's get back to focus on what we're talking about here. We're talking about content.
Content and energy.
And humor!
Podcasts that take you out of the dumps!
There's so many to choose from. Enjoy!
And if you like the energy of this ad, hello! Come along with us! 4 podcasts, tons of books, tons of ebooks! Everywhere!
And meet the authors!
It's the same thing, and it's like you don't have to get angry about it, and devastated is a little extreme. I would think that, you know, wow, it's like you said, they caught me. Why are you going to go back and read, and now, oh, this is where, it's like, and you're going to beat yourself up. The truth is that it's a reflection of ourselves. Are we being, who are we putting out there telling everyone we are? Who are we projecting ourselves to be that's not really who we are? And I look at it from myself, so I guess the question is, are you not going to watch, Carpool Karaoke? And you know what, funny
but it wasn't as specific of an indicator as that. There was something grander to this in the speculation of a simulation and our existence in a simulation. It wasn't like, hey, that's the way it is, so hey, you
no,
know,
I'm not saying that's what it laugh. Is.
I'm saying and, that's and, what and we... And the funny part was, as this went on, there was no comment. I didn't see any comment. I watched the show that night. I watched the beginning. It could have been pre-taped or whatever, but there was no comment kind of talking to this. And, you know, it's not that I'm caught in illusion or anything as a writer. I mean, heck, I live an illusion. Yet from the standpoint of, hey, well, I mean, I think it says something when a lot of people are affected by something. And yes, I know about persuasion. We talk about that. And we talk about instances where people are swayed and things are said
so
and all is
funny.
Not what it seems. And the contemplation of this and where I find it bothersome, there's something else that's bothersome to this. And it's like, if you're consistently poked and poked and poked and poked, you start to get bruised.
Well, couldn't you say the same thing about the university scandal? That there's something about that that really bothers you. And you know, I'm not going to say that, oh, it's okay. I'm not saying that. I'm like, everything is breaking down. All the lies, all the falsities, all the, you know, not unauthentic statements, events, it's all kind of falling apart right now is what I see. That's why I mentioned about, Christopher Columbus, he discovered America. Well, we know there were Native Americans here first, so what does discovered, the first European to discover it? And now we're even finding, no, the Vikings were here even before that. So that's one piece of it. Trump being in the presidency, all of a sudden we're hearing all this stuff that we never heard before. You had said brilliantly on another podcast that the West Wing is empty, and yet our country's still moving forward. Mm-hmm. The university scandal, do we really think that Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman are the first people, amongst others, to get caught? No, they were just, I'm going to say it, stupid enough to do it in a way that was so blatant. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so, and I'm trying to think of what else. We, you know, TV, Weinstein, why, he did this for so many years, and now it comes forward? It's to me, I understand what you're saying, and you can get disgusted. If I get into the space of it, I can get disgusted over all of that. Or I take a big step back and say, wow, everything seems to be kind of falling apart. And you know what? Who's going to survive? And it's not the end of the world sort of a thing. It's maybe it's because now with social media and, you know, people can throw whatever out, there's something new's coming about.
Well, it's an ending beginning. My comment in bringing this up was the comment of how bothersome it was that it really hit a chord. And bothersome, you can decide whatever you want for that to mean. And that was just my word of choice. That it was, you know, am I going to say it was intriguing? It was interesting. It was curious.
Now you're beating up me because I told you I'm trying to stop using that word.
I'm not going to say that it's intriguing, curious, and interested. Interesting that so many people were upset over that. I mean, it was huge. And to see what people are upset about, that's all it takes.
And well, there's people that don't want to see. What is it in Neo? You're like, I don't want the pill. What is it with
the red pill,
whatever one that you take to? No, I don't want it. I'll just the guy that goes back. Right? He's like, no, just give me the steak.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, and you know what? That's okay.
That could be changing.
Well, that's what I'm alluding to, because it occurred, and I understand what you're saying. People are upset, but if I take that and step back and I look at that in terms of everything, I mean, even aliens, they're now, everything's being released, and we're hearing all these stories that were never corroborated, and people are going, it's everything. And I think it's almost like the information age. And I'm going to say, because I read this somewhere, God knows where I read it, but you know, we're in the dark ages for so long, and what we went right from the dark ages into a Renaissance period. And one would ask, is that where we are again in the Renaissance, the information age, to a different degree? I mean, we evolve as people. And I understand that's one piece of it, but I look at that as a microcosm of the big picture. And yeah, I can get upset about it, or I could turn around and say, huh, I see this occurring with everything. What's the pattern? All right, so Julie's looking at me with that look.
No, I don't have any look. I mean, I don't have any look. My comment.
I think it's a valid comment.
It's not a good comment. I think my comment was based in the activity that occurred, and based in, you know, the lack of a response, and based in, you know, there was a dividing line that occurred with, you know, 50% saying, what the heck is wrong with you? Don't you realize this is just TV and entertainment? And the other 50% saying, wow, I really enjoyed that, and I'm not going to be able to enjoy it any longer knowing that, you know, now what I know. And so, you know, it's funny. It's like a parent-child type situation almost, to a degree. And I think there was something quite, you know, bothersome about that, yet that doesn't mean that's good or bad or anything. And not having any response into it, yet, you know, understanding all is not what it seems. So you wake up every morning and, you know, reach for your Nintendo Switch, you know, because the game's begun. The speculation is on.
Are you going to watch karaoke?
I'll catch it on YouTube or whatever.
I haven't seen it in forever.
I haven't either. Won't it be different now that you know? It's like watching The Sixth Sense again. It'll be different now that you know.
Sure.
And so what does that mean? That is really the ultimate question. So what does that mean?
Thank you for listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon authors pages for books and podcasts. Find New Threads music and their latest album on iTunes, Spotify, and newthreads.us.